Keith and Mary Hudson Ministries, making room for the anointing. Thank you for joining us today. God is for you, and the Holy Spirit is working in you to bring victory in your life. Amos 3:8 says, "The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy?" God wants us to use our voice to edify, exhort, and comfort.
Praise God. Hey, you know, it's good to have fun in the Lord. You know, I'm just me. And I really, you know, a lot of people are worried about, and they're going to talk about you. Well, they've been talking about me. I mean, they talked about me before I got saved, and they talked about me after I got saved, right? And, you know, one thing I found out that, you know, God wants you to be yourself and gives you the talents and the degrees and the anointing that he's given you and qualified you. And you know, we're in a different realm. Where we live is really different compared to out here, the West or the South. And the places that we get in because of our daughter, you know, and I have to make this very plain because sometimes there's... You know, people in the news or in the congregations, they come spy us out, or the paparazzi, and they sit back there with their notepads. If you see somebody taking notes right now, just slap them. Make sure they're not the congregation, though. And they take notes, and then they come out the next day in the news that, you know, Katy Perry's father said this, which usually is a lie. But I don't use my daughter. People said, you know, it's been printed in the papers that, you know, they say you're making millions of dollars on the back of your daughter's success. Well, I wish that would come to pass. Somebody say amen. My wife and I, 44 years, been living by faith. Come on. I don't ask anybody for a penny. Don't ask my daughter, my relatives, my in-laws or outlaws for a nickel. Come on. We live by faith. We've been doing that. We never go to a church and say, I got to have this certain amount of money because, you know, I'm not a hireling. My ministry is not up for sale. And if I don't get anything, God gives it to me anyway because he loves me. Oh, no, you don't believe that. He really does. He's excited when I get up in the morning. Yow! Because I'm going to either stir you up or mess you up this morning, one or the other. Some of you look like you need to be stirred up. Come on, hallelujah. But we don't use my daughter because of her influence, but God has given us a platform for this generation. Can I say, if you did not sow a seed, it wasn't for a love offering, because I don't want a love offering. Never want to go to a place, because I believe you love me. Come on. I mean, I know your pastors do, or we wouldn't be here. But what I am really wanting is this generation, and this seed that you sowed this morning is going to turn around somebody that's messed up with drugs or alcohol or somebody who's running wild. Come on, are you listening to me? It's a seed for this generation. And the Lord has given us a platform and an ear. They hear us. You know, I'm let's face it, I'm cool. You got to be cool to talk to this generation. You can't go in there now. You're going to go to hell for smoking. Shut up. You can't go in to this generation with a finger in their face. And that's what the church has done for years. Look at you. Why are you wearing them pants? You're going to hell. God did not come to you with a finger. He came with a hand. And what this generation wants is somebody to reaching out to them and letting them know that they're all right. Come on, that God loves them just like they are with their tattoos, their earrings, their piercing. Come on, somebody help me. And we've got to learn to adjust to that and learn that the gospel is grace and love, period. But God's given us a platform. And can I say, this generation, I found out that they just want to be loved. They don't want to care. Some church folks are too spiritual. I can't handle people like that. I'll be honest with you. I'll just tell you, God bless you. Let's go do something else. Because they always want, you know, they can't even talk without King James in the language. They always got a scripture or spiritualize everything. Come on. I mean, I was walking down Walmart the other day, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said, buy them beans, because them beans, God said, buy the beans. And the beans were on sale, and I bought a case of beans. Glory, hallelujah. I mean, no, that wasn't God, because beans have a reaction, and that is not of the Lord. Come on, somebody, don't you stand around here and say, praise the Lord around me after a can of beans. Come on. People are too spiritual sometimes. We've got to learn to come down on their level and let them know that, hey, man, you're loved. Because the reason you're sitting here this morning and the reason you may show up tonight, hopefully, and because you get up on Monday morning is because of the love of God. What motivates you really is not some preacher or some great scripture and all that's good and fine, or the music or the worship and praise, but it's that love one day that invaded your, oh, come on, somebody, that you were so desperate for, that you would look. Now, we're real different, me and your pastor, because I'm going to get you getting up and you might run. But it's that love that God released in your life, come on, that totally transformed your life. Come on, raise your hands and thank God for that love this morning. Give him some praise. Isn't it wonderful that God loves us? And that song that we sing in the church, oh, how he loves me. You know, God's love is unconditional, and he loves us every day, and I'm so grateful for that. I am thankful for my relationship with the Lord. I don't take this lightly. I never have. Because, listen, you're looking at somebody who should not be here this morning. I've had more than one chance in my life. I should have died from an overdose. I should have gotten a car wreck that I was in, should have got killed. Are you listening to me? If you reflect some things on the back of you in the past of your life, some of you have had a second chance. Come on, you ought to praise the Lord a little bit today. You ought to thank God for your relationship. Come on. Don't you sit here and wonder what time we're going to get out, because we may not, baby. Come on. Ain't nothing happening at the house unless you got married last night. And some of you look like you lost that love and feeling. I don't know. We may have to have a marriage counseling thing right here. The Lord is good. Amen. I want to give you a vision the Lord showed me recently. How many know we're living in some critical times? No, we really are. And you got to take your salvation. Listen. You need to take your salvation real serious. Because a lot of things are coming down, and there's a lot of people losing their lives. Even as we stand and sit here this morning, there's people by the multitudes are losing their life without Jesus. You ever thought, why would God allow you of all the people in the world? Now think about this, because you won't get it. It's mind-boggling, Pastor. Why would God allow you, of all the many people in the past generations, from the beginning of time, the multitudes of millions and millions and millions and multi-millions of people that have already stepped over into eternity without him? Why would God allow you, of all the people right now, that you can't even go? There's some countries we can't even go and name the name of Jesus. Why would God allow you so great a salvation? Why would he allow you? Because you were a nobody. Because I was a nobody. And why all these? Why would he pick you of all the people to know him? The Lord said to me one time, Pastor, he said, they will never grasp. They'll never grasp so great a salvation. I don't know what you're sitting here for this morning, because you think you need to come and pay respects or come here because it's your duty to come to church, but you ought to get grateful and thank God that God allowed, oh, come on, somebody, to have so great a salvation, because there's some folks would love to sit in your seat this morning. They would love to fill up these chairs that are in eternity without him. Come on, praise him a little bit. Thank you, Father God. Come on, thank you, Jesus. So great a salvation. I had a vision. And I don't live by visions, and I don't live by dreams. I don't live by miracles and signs and wonders. I don't live by prophecy. I live by faith. You know, if you want a word from God, I found out over the 44 years of ministry and knowing the Lord, if you just open up his mouth, right there, boom. He'll give you a word. I've had people come and say, you know, I came 35 miles and I didn't get a word tonight. You got one. That's all we talked about. Open up God's mouth, he'll give you a word, especially today. Because we're living in a day of revelation, not information. Come on, he's pouring out secrets from heaven into the earth. Come on, so he's looking for somebody that wants some revelation. Come on, you don't need no information. This is a man and a woman that will give you revelation behind this pulpit, not information. But I had a vision real quick. And I saw this big hand. When I first saw it, I saw it coming out of heaven, and when I saw it, it was huge, it was strong, it had authority, and I knew it was God's hand. Couldn't be any man's hand, couldn't be the devil's hand, because the devil has no strength. The Bible says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy, undo, and loosen the works of the enemy. The devil ain't got nothing. Somebody help me. And you better quit talking about the devil all the time. The devil this and the devil that. And shut up. People talk about the devil. The devil and the dish. Oh, please. You talk more about the devil than you do God. Come on. He's not your problem. He's been taken care of. But I saw this hand. When I saw it, it was big, Pastor. It was had strength. And when I saw it, it started coming down out of heaven. And it came into the earth. And it didn't stop there. It came right into the church. Now get this. And it sort of hovered over the church. This big hand was just hovering like a cloud over the church. And the Lord said this to me. He said, son, I'm sending my hand back into the church, and I'm going to deliver man out of the hands of men and put them back into the hand of the Lord. Somebody praise him a little bit here. Somebody, I'll get a little shout in them. Hallelujah. I said, God wants to take and deliver man, your daughter, your son, come on, your business. He wants to take out of the hand of man and put it back into the hand of the Lord. When you leave here this morning, hear me, you're going to have everything. Everything that you are connected with, your loved ones, your husband, your wife, your family, that son that is running wild, that wife or that daughter, that they're going to be, your business is going to be in, your ministry, come on somebody, is going to be in the hand of the Lord. Somebody give him a shout, hallelujah. Ha ha, because everything must in these days be in the hand of the Lord. Now, when the Lord gave me this vision, I wanted to check on it, because when God gives you something, it's in the Bible. Because if you get something and it's not in the Bible, you never shelf it. Because we got some, you know, goofy people in the church. Not this church. But you've seen goofy. God doesn't want us to be goofy. He wants us to be glorious. Come on. I think sometimes we scare people off. Because, woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, don't even know how to hello somebody. I walked into the church the other while back, and I just shook his hand. I said, how are you? Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, glory. I said, I ain't going to shake your hand no more. Thank God I'm not a visitor. I'd scare me away. Everybody say, just get normal. You know what I mean? Especially when you're dealing with them. But I said, Lord, show me a scripture here. Oh, we're still on California time, honey. Look at that. My God. I said, Lord, show me. Give me confirmation. You know what God give you confirmation on what you get from God? Well, or somebody will come along and confirm it. They don't even know nothing about it. Prophetically, they'll do it. So I looked up in my electronic Bible, which I have, 22 different translations in this baby. Come on. And I have concordance, and I have Greek and Hebrew. I got everything I need. So I said, God, give me a scripture. Go over there and turn it on near there. 1 Chronicles 21:13. Throw it on the scripture on the screen there. I want to see that. And here's David. David, of all men. Great man of God. He said this. And he said unto Gad, which was a seer. Now David got himself in trouble. So he had some consequences. And David pled with Gad. And he said this. Hear this. I am in a great strait. I am in great perplexity. You know what the Lord said to me a while back, Pastor? He said, many of my people are sitting in churches all over this nation with deep-seated, long-lingering disorders. Oh, you got to get that. Sitting in churches like some of you today, you've got deep-seated, long-lingering disorders that you have lived with. You've even made the statement, well, I guess I'll live with this the rest of my life. Well, I'm here to tell you some good news this morning. Because the Lord said, son, I'm going to begin to deliver an anointing, and not to heal them, but to make them whole. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me? God doesn't want to heal you. He wants to make you whole. We've been walking around the church too long with a limp. Come on. God wants you to be made whole. And there is a difference between wholeness and healing. He didn't ask the man at the pool of Bethesda, do you want to be healed, or you want to be made whole? If you got a deep-seated, long-lingering disorder, you need to just stick around, because there's an anointing that God wants to touch you and make you whole. But David said this, I'm in a great strait. He was in difficulty. But look what he said, let me fall now into the hand of the Lord. For very great are his mercies. But then look what David said. But let me not fall into the hand of man. When I got that scripture, Pastor, I got up and did a little dance. Come on, are you listening? Because it's exactly what the Lord was saying, that I'm going to take man out of the hands of men. Come on, are you hearing me? And I'm going to put them back into the hand of the Lord. That's the greatest thing for when you walk out of this door. If you don't get a prophecy, if you don't get a healing, you don't get everything, but everything that you have when you walk out that door is going to be in the hand of the. Come on, somebody shout, come on. He was in great strait. Don't let me fall into the hand of man. You might have a daughter that's running crazy with some guy. Slick Willie came into the church and he's looking good. And don't do that. Don't go that way, because in a few weeks or a few months, you'll be out there. Come on. David says this, and we're going to close and pray for you. He said, my times are in your hands. Lord, my times are in your hand. Deliver me from my enemies. Your times are in the hands of the Lord. Let me say something. With these critical days that we're listening to me, with the critical days that are on us right now, you know, they're talking about this month. I don't know if you've heard about the blood moon, and a bunch of this stuff's going on. You say, yeah, but that's just a fear thing. No, it's reality. And there's some things that are happening. It's amazing. I don't have the time to get into it, but I got a video. I wish I could play it. It's 45 minutes long, but I'm telling you what. After you saw this video about what's going on, the real deal, you would sober up. Huh? Oh, you're scaring the hell out of me. Well, good. Get the hell out of you. Come on, put heaven in ya. My times are in your hands. I like Jabez's prayer, and we're going to close. That thy hand might be with me. You know, when I got this revelation, when I got this vision from the Lord, I started going through the scripture and finding out the hand of the Lord. And this will give you a little homework if you like doing that. Just go look at the hand of the Lord. In the Old Testament, New Testament, every time the hand showed up, something significant happened. People's lives were drastically. Ezekiel, the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel. The Bible said, took him out in the spirit. The hand of the Lord showed up in Antioch, and thousands of people came to know the Lord. What would happen to this church as God's hand moved in upon this church? I'm going to tell you, I don't care where you are, and you might not be known too much. Around maybe for the first 100 miles or so, or 200 miles, but you might, if the hand of the Lord showed up in this church, you wouldn't have a big enough building. People say, well, you know, Brother Hudson, I don't like crowds. Well, you ain't going to like heaven then, so. And I tell you another crowd you're not going to like if you don't go to heaven. But there is a crowd that is waiting for the real Jesus. Come on, I said there is a crowd that's waiting, not for the church Jesus and not for the religious Jesus, but for the real Jesus. Come on, somebody give the Lord a praise. And what you got and what your pastor puts in you every Sunday and the men and the women that he brings across this pulpit, they're giving you the real deal. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Thank God you're not still going to some of those churches where they have forms and rituals, regulations, and your hair's too long. And I have some, you know, I have problems, Pastor, not with the devil. And I say that honestly. You can ask my wife. I have problems with religious people. Oh, they just can't understand. How could you? Look at you. How could you? I had a pastor come up. Bless his heart. Brother Hudson, how can you be a minister of the gospel and wear skinny jeans? I said, because my legs are skinny. Thank you. They didn't call them fat jeans. They call them skinny jeans. Thank you. And that brother wants to put me in hell for my skinny jeans. But baby, if I'm going to hell with my skinny jeans, I'm going to crease them. That's for sure. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me? They'll put you in hell for skinny jeans. And that mustache is up too high. Isn't it? Somebody say, tell the truth. I want to pray with you because it's very important. Because some of you right now, how many of you would say, man, I need some things in the hand of the Lord? How many's got a business? You know, if you put your business in the hand of the Lord, you got some money now, baby? When I got this revelation, God started dealing with me and showing me things, and I put my ministry, we are totally debt free. We owe no man nothing. You got a ministry? I put my ministry, my wife and I, Pastor, your ministry's in the handle. That's the best place for it to be. Because when you leave here today and tomorrow and this week, you're going to have oppositions and you're going to have accusations and the enemy's going to come against you. And all of a sudden, you're going to be able to stop and just throw one hand up and say, but my daughter is in the hand of the Lord. When they get accusations against us, because my daughter doesn't do anything against us, she loves it. We have a tight family. I don't agree with everything, but we got a tight family. You know why? Because family is first. Before ministry, before football or basketball or soccer or business, family's first. Why? Because when you stand in heaven, when my wife and I stand in heaven, after all the years and all the people that we have spoken to over these years, stand in heaven, and I'd have my family there. Family, listen, heaven will not be the same without your family. I don't care. Family will not be, or heaven will not be the same without my daughters or my son standing there. I'm not going to allow that to happen. Because I love my family. And I'd quit the ministry because of my family if I had to. Because family is number one. Some of you have got some family people here, man, that's in the hand of the devil. But today you're going to get him, come on, somebody, delivered out of the hand. Come on, some of you have got a daughter that's running with Mr. Slick Willie. He's going to be, I said, you got a husband that rebels and refuses. Come on, somebody, he's going to get delivered. Stand to your feet right now. Come on, somebody shout, hallelujah. Come on, come on. Put one hand towards heaven. And I want you to declare, the Bible says, if you decree, it shall be established. So shall my word go forth out of your mouth. It will not return void, but it shall accomplish and prosper into the thing that you sent it. I want you to open your mouth because your voice has an address in heaven. If you have never say anything, you're never going to get anything. It ain't nothing to do with positive confession. It has to do with speaking the word of the Lord. Because when you stand up and open up your mouth and begin to speak God's word, it has just as much authority as God has when you stand up in this realm and speak forth his word. So put one hand up in heaven and say, Lord, today I make a decree that from this day forth, everything, my son, my daughter, come on, my business, my ministry,
everything
is delivered out of the hand of man, and I put it into the hand of the Lord. Now somebody shout like it's there.
We hope today's word has blessed you and encouraged you to live boldly in Him. If you feel led to partner with us on a regular basis, please go to keithhudson.org and sign up to give monthly. As a gift for partnering with us, we would like to send you Mary's book, Smart Bombs, Tearing Down Strongholds with the Explosive Word of God. This tool will help you activate your God-given authority by effectively using the Word to speak to your circumstances.